Tonight, Genesis chapter number nine, like this morning's message was a topical type message. Tonight's will be also. We'll be turning some different places in the Bible this evening, like we did a little bit this morning. Genesis chapter number nine, as I mentioned this morning a couple times, as it being Memorial Day and the purpose for Memorial Day, that there's different things in the Bible that God has set up to remind us and to be memorial for us. We looked at the word definition of memorial is something, especially a structure or a written document established to remind people of a person or event. And there's different things in the Bible that God has given us to remind us certain particular purposes. As we spoke about this morning, the importance of not forgetting. And we talked about a little bit about how to make sure we don't forget by remembering to tell the next generation, by remembering to follow God's laws, and by remembering to pay the vows that we have made to God. This Memorial Day, we thought about looking at some different things. So when God speaks to my heart, or when God speaks to someone's heart about speaking about a certain topic, there's a lot of different things you come and go with and go through, and there's a lot of different things to remember, a lot of different memorials, a lot of different even monuments in the Bible, even different things you could look at. Even ask my sons a little bit, it says, which ones do you think would be good ones to talk about? No, they don't write my messages, but there are so many. I said, and wanted to look for some different ideas. Christian came up with some that I was thinking about. Andrew came up with some I've never even thought about. So he has some interesting viewpoints. But there's a couple things, and we chose some different ones. We're not going to spend a lot of time on any of them except for the Lord's Supper at the end. We're going to spend a little bit extra time. I think it's a nice connection to Memorial Day. We don't always do the Lord's Supper on Memorial Day because of the fact that it's sometimes our church picnic day and in the afternoon and things like that. But as I was studying and praying, I thought it'd go along well with the message. We do the Lord's Supper as a memorial. He says, do this in a remembrance of me. There's a purpose for it. And as we take time, and I think we should take time, and it should be a solemn day, that we remember everyone who has died serving in America's armed forces. I think it's good to take time and pause and remember that Jesus Christ died for us. Why did he have to institute it? Because we forget. As I was reading and studying, I came across one thought from a guy that says, you know what? God made our mind like that. You know, God wanted us to remember everything. I'm sure it has something to do with the fall, and that's the reason why we become forgetful. Our bodies begin to break down. I know all that. But that's where our minds are, and God puts things in our path for a reason for us to stop and think and consider. And so those are some things that are memorial. Now, you might have picked different things to look at in the Bible, but I picked four or five different things we're just going to look at closely to just kind of give us a reminder. Stop and think, okay, well, that's why that's there. And when we see that, that's what we should think about. Some are things that are for us today, or some are things that was for the Jewish people, and some is one that was a memorial that someone was known for what they did, and we still talk about it today. So get some different memorials. It's going to be a little bit more teaching than preaching. And we'll get at the end. We're going to look at the Lord's Supper. And we're going to observe the Lord's Supper tonight at the end of the service. So let's hop right into this. Memorials in the Bible. Remember, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But the Bible also said, wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. So we want to make sure we remember God. A monument is built as a memorial to those who have fallen many times. We think about the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. We think of different walls that we see names that people have given. These are all monuments. These are all things that show and demonstrate a reason, a purpose, and a remembrance. And that's what we're talking about tonight, some things that God did to say, "This, I want you to remember this. This is important. Don't forget this." Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 9, the first monument, which you're going to say, well, it's not a monument. Nobody built it. Well, God put it there. It's the rainbow. The rainbow. I know sometimes that's some people don't like talking about that, but we shouldn't let people that do not have faith and do not believe in God take certain symbolism away and say we shouldn't talk about it. The rainbow is something God put in the sky, and there's a reason and a purpose. When you see it, there's something it should mean to you. So it's a memorial. Look at Genesis chapter number 9, verse number 12, and God said, this is the token, he calls it a token here, of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. He's saying this is something he has put there, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. So it's there, and it's supposed to remind us of something. It's supposed to bring back a remembrance of something when you see that. I know a lot of us enjoy seeing the rainbow when we see pictures, and we see, when you see it out there, it's a good thing. Sometimes people get their cameras out and take pictures of it. And it says in verse number 15, it's kind of interesting, it says, "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all the earth, all the flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." I'll give you a little background. Pretty much everybody knows the story about Noah's ark. God told Noah to build an ark, and when God built the ark, gave instructions in building the ark. They brought the animals into the ark. Noah and his family, everybody that was in the ark was saved. Everything else was wiped out. And that rainbow represents the fact that God has made a promise to us, every living creature, that he was not going to destroy the world again with a world flood. And, you know, that's wonderful. That's great. So when we see the rainbow, what does it mean? Well, you think about it, number one, that God judges sin. I mean, that's something that's true. He will judge sin. He's not going to do it with the flood anymore. He's made that promise, but he does judge sin. Another thing that the rainbow shows and represents is also God's grace. God kept Noah safe. There is a plan of salvation. Yes, there is judgment for sin, but there is a way to escape the judgment of God. That's through putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Also, not only is it that there's judgment and God judges judgment, but God can keep us safe during the judgment, but we also remember his promise. His promise is that he will not destroy it that same way. So those are things to look at, and that's the way the type of the message is going to go, is looking at some different memorials. You think about the rainbow. When you see the rainbow, it stops. You remember. You consider some things. Don't just look at it and say, oh, doesn't that look pretty? God put it in the Bible, and he says, when I see this, I'm going to remember this, and I'm going to remember that, and I'm going to remember this. And when we come to a day like Memorial Day, it's a solemn day. I think they say that tomorrow at 3 o'clock, you're supposed to take some time of silence to just consider those who have given their lives in our U.S. armed forces. But when we see things like this as a memorial, God puts things there so we would not just enjoy them, but to stop and consider, why is this here? Next one I want you to go to is Joshua chapter number 4. In Joshua chapter number 4, we have the story of the memorial of the 12 stones. Now, one of my sons had mentioned the 12 stones here, and in Joshua chapter number 4, and once again, after church, you could probably tell me a bunch of different ones that we're not going to go over. We're not going to look at the manna that God put inside the ark, or we're not going to talk about the stone of Ebenezer that God put there, talk about the different wells that represent things and the different altars that were laid up. We're not going to look at all those things because there's a ton of different things we're going to, but this is one that I think is important and is a little bit different than the rainbow. The rainbow helps us remember, okay, God's judgment, okay, God can save us through this judgment. Also, he has made us a promise. Here is the memorial of the 12 stones, Joshua chapter number 4, verses 4 through 7. There is the memorials are made for us to teach other people also. You know, we like showing our kids, hey, you see that rainbow? It's pretty. Look at it. Look at all the different colors. How many colors do you see there? Look, there's a double rainbow, but that is made and put there for a reason. Not only for us to remember, but we can tell our kids, you know, where that rainbow come from. You know whose bow that is? That's God's bow. And he had put that there because the world was wicked and because of what the people had done. And it's an opportunity to teach. When you go to different monuments, you go to Washington, D.C., you go to different other areas and you look at things and you can see things and say, you see that? And it can be a monument and a reminder. These monuments and these memorials that are found in the Bible is to, not only for us to learn from, someone taught us those things. They want us to use this as a way to teach others also. Look what it says in Joshua chapter 4. They are getting ready to go over the Jordan River. It is a time where they need miraculous help to get over there. Jesus, God parts the Jordan River, and he gets the whole nation of Israel over into the promised land. Joshua 4, look in verse number 4. We'll start. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Now, we're not reading the story about how the parting happened, but it was during a flood time, and the waters were overflowing the banks, and God miraculously parted these Jordan rivers, and the whole nation walked through there, and they said, hey, you 12 guys, go get this stone, and we're going to make a memorial up, and then we're going to look at this memorial, and then someday when your children come, they're going to see that there's an unusual formation of rocks there, and the children are going to look at it and say, hey, what do those rocks mean? And it gives you an opportunity to brag about God for a little while. It just gives you an opportunity to say, you know what, way back when we were in the bondage in Egypt, and God took us through the Red Sea, and God did all these wonderful things and brought us here to this moment and this time, we couldn't get over on our own. We couldn't get to the promised land on our own. We needed God's help, and God instructed us to put this memorial there so that way I can teach you something about God. That way I can remind you. He says, well, Pastor, everybody would have remembered that. All the great traditions, all the great stories, of course they're going to remember that. Their parents are going to tell them that over and over. Now, what did we learn this morning? In the book of Judges, it said right after this generation or the second generation, that there was a generation that knew not the Lord and did not know his mighty works. They had never taught them that and have never showed them that. And that's why we put memorials there and monuments there. Around our country, there's memorials and monuments where you can look at and describe and talk about the different things that mean so much to our nation and mean so much to our country, and talk about the things that are erected to be able to honor certain things. Times in certain places, but we see these 12 stones are there to remind not only the children of Israel, but to be a monument to their kids when they look at that and say, Mom, Dad, tell me the story again. Tell me the story of how Dad or Granddad or Great-Granddad or Great-Great-Granddad went through and walked on dry land. Tell the story about how they put the rocks together. It means something. And that's why we take the time here to look at this and try to remember, not only is our memorials put there to remind us personally about the judgment that God is going to bring upon this earth, but that he can give us salvation and that he has given us promises, but also God's worked in the past and God can work in your life today. How great it is to be able to tell your children, this is what God did for me and this is what God can do for you. This is how God can bless your life. This is how God used me. He saw fit to use me, not in a bragging way, not in a way to bring glory to yourself, but in a way to bring glory to honor to God. Those rocks wasn't anything about the men picking up and carrying it. Those rocks are all about that God helped them. And that's what we need to understand. God gives us moments and times and situations to look at and say, this is what God did for me. God brings us the times in our lives and say, this is what God did for me. And it's important to remember these memorials. Next one, we chose one of the feasts. There's multiple feasts. All the different feasts in the Bible represent different things. Was going to talk about the Passover feast, but instead we're going to look at the Feast of the Tabernacles, Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. I think the Lord directed us to Leviticus 23 on the purpose of that the memorial not only is to talk about God's judgment and also about how the salvation he offers and the promise he gives, also about what he's done to help us before in the past, but also it's a time to give thanksgiving, a time of thanksgiving. In Leviticus 23, there's something called the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Feast of the Tabernacles is something that once the nation of Israel had come into the Promised Land and had begun to receive a bountiful supply, they did this for a week, and they lived in booths and they lived in tents to remind them, number one, what they were taken out of from Egypt. Over in Egypt, they were slaves. Over in Egypt, they were forced to work in inhumane type of situations. They were forced to do things that was not reasonable, and God, they cried out to God because of their affliction. God sent the 10 plagues. God took him through the Red Sea. God took him through Mount Sinai. God took him all the way up to the Promised Land. It's a reminder of that. And then also the Feast of the Tabernacles, they lived in tents and booths that day to remind them about the 40 years that they were stuck in the wilderness because of a lack of belief, because they weren't willing to go in the Promised Land. Remember when Joshua and Caleb said, "Let's go," and the other 10 spies said, "We can't do it," and the whole nation chose not to believe and trust in God. This feast is there to help remind them and the thanksgiving of where they came from. It was a time of rejoicing. It was a time of thanksgiving when Israel showed their gratitude to God and remembered that he had delivered them from the Egyptian bondage and brought them into a land which produced so many good things. It came 5 days after the Day of Atonement, when the sin of the people had been removed. And during these 7 days of the feast, Israel dwelt in booths and tents and made from the boughs of trees. It would remind them of the 40 years of the wilderness when they dwelt in tents. I know some of you might like to go to camping, but I don't think you probably want to live there for 40 years. And it was a practical method of the accommodation which happened before, after they left Egypt. This feast pointed forward to a full harvest and the result of God's work in the Promised Land. Let's look here in Leviticus chapter 23. We're going to start in verse number 39. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, Leviticus 23, verse 39. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath. Now, a Sabbath is another memorial that we could look at, but we're not going to look at tonight, of what God expected from the nation of Israel and what even the important purpose of the Lord's day. And on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and the willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute for ever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations, and look why the purpose here, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. He said, I want you to remember this. This is what you had to do for a period of time. This is what you had to do when you went from Egypt over to the Promised Land. This is what you got stuck doing for 40 years because of your disobedience. But remember what it used to be like when you didn't have a land. Remember what it used to be like when you didn't have a harvest. Remember what it used to be like over in Egypt land when you were in bondage. He says, I want you to remember that. And when you're living in these booths for these 7 days, it's a time of feasting. It's a time of rejoicing because you're not stuck in them. Instead, you've been delivered. You have a promised land. You have a lot of land. You have an opportunity to grow, and you're looking forward to a great harvest according to God's plan and will. Next thing I want you to see here, so we see the rainbow, we see the memorial of the 12 students, we see the memorial of the Feast of Tabernacles, which I think reminds us to be thankful and the thanksgiving that's offered. The next one I want you to see is the anointing of Jesus' head by Mary. The anointing of Jesus' head by Mary. Once again, we're trying to find different ones. He says, well, how's that a memorial? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus makes an interesting statement that you do not see really mentioned any other way about an act that was done towards him than anywhere else in the Bible. It says, this is going to be a memorial because of what she did that night to Jesus. Matthew chapter 26, we see in the verses 6 through 13. And what do you say? Well, Pastor, what are you getting at with this? Our lives are a memorial. What we do in our life. I know there's things I can remember that my dad did when I was a child that I always remember when I think about that moment in time. Things that my mom did, or things that someone that was close to, I remember when they did that, and will cause certain reactions. Just like memorials and monuments, there are things that we will do in our life that will stick with people, and there'll be memories, sometimes good, sometimes bad. Sometimes there are things that we won't be able, that we'll enjoy, rejoice in remembering, other things that we'll have to seek God's help in forgiving others. But in Matthew chapter 26, I look at this story, and you can disagree with me if you want. Mary seems like she's the only one here that really knows that Jesus is getting ready to die. He has told everybody else, and everybody else kind of has looked past us. They didn't really see what was going to happen. He even talks about how it was they did not discern that. But Mary comes to anoint his body before the burial. And God allows her to anoint Jesus' body. It says in Matthew chapter 26, verse number 6, "Now when Jesus was in the Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment." He said, which Mary? Jesus' mother? No, this is Mary, Martha's sister, Lazarus' sister. And a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment. "And poured it on his head, and he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." So, like I said, he had told them that he was going to have to die. He had told him he was going to rise again. But she saw this. She understood there's nothing that she could figure. This was the way she was worshiping the Lord. Look what it says in verse number 13. "Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for memorial of her." So it's, the Lord is remembering what was done and how she worshiped him, and the picture of the worship that's given and the enthusiasm of her worship and the praise that she has. She says, this is a memorial that the whole world will see. And when the gospel is preached and people understand, they'll hear this story and they'll recognize what this woman did. And what is this? This shows us that our acts are remembered, and that even we are remembered for the things we do. But it also is a memorial that we should worship the Lord. We should be willing to offer our best to God, and we should be willing to do things for the Lord for his glory and for his purpose. So last but not least, we're going to go to the Lord's Supper. We're going to talk about that for a few minutes before we begin the observing the Lord's Supper. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Once again, like I said, you could probably come up with maybe 10 or 20 different memorials, if not hundreds of different things you can remember. I know one of my sons said, what about the cross? I said, people wear that as a memorial to remember. You know, we hang the cross up there. Why do we do that? It's because it's not just a decoration. It's not just a piece of jewelry. It's a remembrance of what Jesus Christ did. And there's a lot of different things that are memorial to us. And that's what we come down to, what I think is one of the greatest memorials, because Jesus instituted it and he says, I want you to remember because what it represents. So we're going to look at this quickly. There's three things I want you to think about when we talk about the Lord's Supper. First of all, it's a time of commemoration. It's a time of commemoration. Commemorate means to honor the memory of somebody or something in a ceremony. It is to serve as a memorial to something. So when we look through these verses, I want you to see the things that we commemorate. Look in verse number 24 and verse 25. We're going to commemorate his sufferings. You commemorate his sufferings. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, the cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me." So we see that we commemorate, we honor the sufferings of Jesus Christ. It talks about the broken body. It talks about the blood of Jesus. These are vivid phrases that bring to mind his suffering and his pain. When we take the elements of the Lord's Supper, when we consider what's going to happen, we consider that he suffered horribly for us. That's when it's talking about the broken body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only do we commemorate his sufferings, we commemorate his sacrifice. And we think that, well, suffering, sacrifice, he gave a great sacrifice when he came to this world. He gave a great sacrifice to the things that he left this world in order to try to reach the world for Jesus Christ. So when we're considering, and you think the blood, and you think about the body, it's like, okay, I remember this. I remember what he did for me. I also remember the sacrifice he made for me. He was willing to give it all. And when you remember these things, shouldn't I not be willing to suffer for him? Should I not be willing to sacrifice for him? It's also a time of celebration. Look what it says in verse number 24. It says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat this body. This is my body, which is broken for you. It's done for you. There was a reason. It's a celebration. We celebrate his compassion. He did this for us. He did and suffered what he did because he loved us. It's personal. And it says it's a celebration of his compassion. It's also a celebration of his conquest. Look what it says in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he comes. Now, yes, he does want you to remember the when he died on the cross to take away the sins of mankind, to pay that penalty. But it's also a conquest because he died on the cross. He came and did what he was supposed to do, but he didn't stay in the grave. He didn't stay in the tomb. 3 days later, he rose again. They wouldn't be commemorating. They wouldn't be celebrating if it wasn't the fact that Jesus hadn't risen from the dead. That's what celebration is. He rose from the dead, and because he rose from the dead, that's what this remembers. Yeah, it's a solemn time when we take the Lord's Supper. We try to keep it very solemn in the fact that we want to take time to remember his sufferings, his sacrifices. But it's also time that you've got to rejoice over. He did this for me. It's a personal thing. He showed compassion, and he didn't just stay in the grave. Unlike all those soldiers that gave their lives for our country, and we're not minimizing what they did, they paid the ultimate price. They never came back. Memorial Day is not really a day of celebration. It's a day of remembering what people did, and we're thankful for the way people did. And we celebrate the fact that we have freedom. We celebrate the fact that we have the ability to worship freely in a country because of the price that was paid. But we take time to remember. We're not excited at the fact that the people died. We're excited at the fact that they were willing to give their lives. And we're excited today because he rose again. Even though he died for us, he rose again. And we celebrate he's coming back. Look what it says in verse number 26. It's something that's wrapped into the Lord's Supper. We commemorate his sufferings. We commemorate his sacrifice. We celebrate his compassion, his conquest, and his coming. It says, for as often as you drink this bread and eat this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. And it's wonderful that he's coming again. He's promised us that. He showed us over and over in his word. That's what this memorial is supposed to be for. That's what we're supposed to remember. What he did for us. The broken body, the blood. He did it for me, the compassion he showed, the conquest he did by dying on the cross and raising again, and last but not least, his coming, his celebration. You say, well, that's good. Memorials are all good. We can stop right there. We got it all done. No, it's what affects us. It's how it affects us. It's how we respond to it also. There's a contemplation to it. There's a contemplation that when we see a memorial of something, we see something, we're thankful for it. How do we respond? We consider the price that was paid for our freedom means that we should be willing to fight for our freedom and be willing to stand for our country and do what's right. We hear and see what Christ did for us and how we contemplate how we're supposed to respond. If he was willing to sacrifice, if he was willing to suffer, if he was willing to be compassionate, if he was willing to have conquest and we're supposed to be looking forward to his coming, there should be a time of contemplation. It gives us something to think about. That's what a memorial is, to give us something to think about seriously and at length. And that's why we take a few minutes to consider what happens during the Lord's Supper. Look what it says in verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. That means that they're doing it unworthily. It means that they are not understanding. They don't respect it. They're not reverencing the body, what Jesus did. They don't reverence and respect. And we see people that will disgrace the monuments and memorials. We see people that will even take down monuments and memorials that do not understand and try to take away our history, and people that are not doing justice by those things. And it's the same thing when someone takes the Lord's Supper unworthily. Shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So we're supposed to contemplate. We're supposed to contemplate our sanctification. We're supposed to contemplate our lives. We're supposed to examine ourselves, making sure, number one, that we are saved. This is written for believers. It's written for people that are Christians. Those are the people who should take part of the Lord's Supper. Secondly, it's talking about how we should examine ourselves. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The desire is that we do remember. The desire is that we take part of it. But we want to make sure that our hearts are right. We want to make sure there's no type of sin in our lives before the Lord, because we want to take part of it. And we don't want to do it with an unclean heart. Because the Bible says if you do it unworthily, there could be a price to pay. Look what it says. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. They have eaten and drunken damnation to themselves because they have not discerned what it stands for and what it represents. What the price that Jesus paid and the holy ground in a sense that around this and what it means, we can take it with a heart full of sin. He's saying that's unworthily. And it says in verse number 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. It's saying that some people, when they've taken it unworthily, they've taken it not discerning the body of Christ, when they've taken it without the heart and the right spirit, remembering and commemorating what Jesus done for us, it says they've been punished. Because of that, they're weak. Because of that, they're sickly. And even that last phrase, many sleep. Now, they're not talking about sleeping in church. I know that sometimes that happens in church. Not very often. I appreciate that. Wesley told me yesterday that, or Andrew, one of them said, the job is when you're sitting back there, the reason why I can sit back there is because somebody sleeps, you got to go over there and wake them up. I've never seen him wake anybody up, but that's what he says the job is, because everybody must stay awake. I guess that's it. But their sleeping means that they've died. And there is a connection to disrespecting the Lord's Supper. So it's something here that we must contemplate our salvation. Are we in the body? It says us in this passage of Scripture. It says we in this passage of Scripture. It's referring to the body of believers. But we must contemplate our sanctification. How are we treating him today? Do we love him? Because when we take a few minutes to remember, and we take some time of silence, and or Miss Kathy plays on the piano, it's not a time of talking, it's not a time of laughing, it's not a time of goofing. It's a time where we're really truly remembering what Christ did for us. And as we remember what he did for us, we examine our lives. Because look what it says in verse number 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If our hearts were right, then we wouldn't have to worry about God's judgment falling upon us. God's desire is that we would partake in it so we could enjoy it and we could remember. It could be a reminder for us. And then you keep on going, and it says, verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. So I want to consider tonight the memorials that are in the Bible. I know we could have talked about the manna. We could have talked about the cross. We could have talked about the Passover. We could have talked about a lengthy number of things that God had set up as a memorial and as reminders to us. But we looked at the rainbow, because the rainbow taught us that God will judge sin, but we can flee from that. We can be saved from that. We also talked about Mary's, the memorial that Mary had, because her actions do make a difference, and it teaches us about worship. We talked about the feast, and the feast is important because it spurs us to remember and to rejoice and be thanksgiving for all the things we have. And we also talked about the stones, because we're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. We're supposed to pass it along and pass it to that next generation. So tonight, as we get ready to close the message and the sermon and get ready to have a time of invitation, these memorials, how will you respond? When you come to this passage of Scripture, there's a response that's supposed to happen. What are you going to do with it? When you see the rainbow, how are you going to respond? When you see a monument, how are you going to respond like the 12 stones? This is what my God did for me. What are we going to do when it comes to our thanksgiving? What are we going to do when it comes to our worship? And what are we going to do when it comes to the Lord's Supper? Is there something in our life that is wrong? Is there something in our life that we just don't want to get rid of? Take a moment and look at the memorials. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the price to be right with God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes